It's time for Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. The first hour of Sports Time is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you. Landon Schmidt producing. We are Sports Time. We're with you for the next 3 hours. A lot to discuss this afternoon as we'll talk a lot of basketball as we had the final two play-in games last night. Both a ton of fun. We'll discuss those. Start setting up tomorrow night's the final night of the play-in tournament, so we will discuss those matchups that we will see tomorrow night. We'll talk some college basketball as Memphis has made another addition to the coaching staff. We'll discuss that. There's also a story up on ESPN about Ja Morant and his future with the Memphis Grizzlies, so a lot of NBA to discuss. Keith Smith, he'll join us as well in our second hour. Greg Gaston will join us to talk Tigers. We'll talk some football as the draft is a week away, so a lot of draft talk and Major League Baseball games going on right now. It's Thursday, a travel day, so not a full slate of games, but a lot of day action. So plenty to discuss over these next 3 hours. But Brett, how are you this afternoon?
Doing well. It's mostly in the daytime today, Bryant, but a few games tonight. No NBA tonight. I've got baseball and the golf on. Bryant, you took Ludwig Åberg this week again, right?
No, I did not. No, I took Chris Goddard as my as my first. Is Ludwig doing well? I was watching this 60, morning.
63.
Wow, man. Lead. I thought about going back to him, but I didn't want to keep going back to the same well. I mean, everyone knows Ludwig's my guy. I've been a big Ludwig fan.
You introduced him to the Memphis area.
I did. I was his. I was the tour guide. I mean, I was everything. And so I didn't
took him
start
around town. Introduced him to all the
right
people.
Exactly. So I didn't want to start the year back to back tournaments and really go back to that well. So I should have gone with my gut and gone with Ludwig. But yeah, I watched a little bit this morning, and always a fun tournament.
Any wagers?
I have a couple. I don't know how any of them are doing. Nothing for just today's round. Most of them are, I think I only have one or two.
It's a no-cut tournament.
Yeah,
so even I'll get a check on Sunday.
Well, that's good. And so I guess makes you feel a little bit better.
Unless somebody WDs. We don't pay appearance fees.
No, we
pay payout on Sunday. And if you WD, you don't get a dime.
No, definitely.
Even if you get paid, we call it a zero.
Well, that's right. So
you get DQ'd, WD, zip.
Hopefully there's none of that for any of our picks this week, but has been a lot of fun over there.
Lighting it up, and it's set up that way after the pressure of last week. They want it to be fun and a lot of birdies at Calabogie Sound.
Yeah, most of them are lighting it up. I was watching this morning, and obviously one of the big names out there, and because of the way he was playing, it was he was on my screen a lot. Justin Thomas with a 5 over 76 to start the day. So not great for him, but yes, a lot of big names.
He's a little lost right now.
He is. It's kind of been that way for a while for him, definitely. So will be a lot of fun to watch that and all the baseball throughout today and tomorrow.
You mentioned the ESPN.com story about, in the title of it, Inside the End of the Ja Morant Era in Memphis. And I promise, I'm not trying to take a shot at anybody. I know everybody's got to do their thing, and everybody's trying to work hard and make a niche. But for people here, the story by Tim McMahon and Michael C. Wright, there was not one new word in it.
No.
Read a sentence? Not close to a paragraph of anything that we didn't know and that we haven't had reported by DeMichael Cole at the Commercial Appeal about every single step along that way.
Yeah, no, I mean, there was really nothing new. I think the only kind of new piece in it, and it really wasn't much, but there were a couple quotes in there from, you know, other execs and people within different teams across the NBA, of course, unnamed, but kind of giving you some sort of insight of maybe the thought around Ja Morant around the league. But it's, you know, kind of what we have thought all this time of, you know, there are going to be teams interested, but what will that price be? But yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, again, one of those things where, you know, and obviously we're so lucky here in Memphis to have such great reporters that cover all of these teams in this area, and they're on top of it. And so I don't think that Tim McMahon story was really for us. I think it was more for
somebody in Chicago.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, somebody in Sacramento or one of these other markets that might be interested
but,
in.
But
in
really Dummer. Kind of a non sequitur even for that. I mean, why the deep dive on Ja? I mean, it's all been pretty pretty much out there.
Yeah.
And it is to our reporting, not by DeMichael, but also TV, Colin Cody and Channel 3, Matt Infield and Channel 5, many others, radio here at our station starting at 7 o'clock in the morning. There are no secrets about the Grizzlies.
No, none. There really isn't. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, Ja Morant, he is a big name and a star in the NBA. And so, you know, whenever you can write about him and kind of make it the front piece story on ESPN, it gets the clicks and people want to read about him.
On a day with no games.
Exactly. So it's they know what they're doing over there at ESPN. And I think well-timed and timed at the exact right moment that they wanted it to be to kind of have this story drop today and have that news kind of get out there before the start of the playoffs over the weekend.
Bryant, that night against Atlanta, that night he hurt his elbow, his left elbow, on the goal in front of the Grizzlies bench. You know, that was right at the start, kind of the bad weather was kind of brewing and coming that week. And I thought, boy, you know, do I want to fight the cold and the weather tonight? And I'm not saying that I thought it would be his last game. There was just no way I could know that. But I knew after playing in London, well, I was thinking, like we were discussing yesterday with Rob, you know, maybe this could be the little bitty spark of something. And if it's not the next injury, I want to be there because I was there for the first game ever played, and I wanted to be there for whenever maybe the last game. And I didn't know it was going to be that night. But it ended up being because I think he's going to be dealt. I won't go zero because I don't go 100 or zero on anything, but it's just barely over zero.
Yeah, I mean, I think, all signs are certainly pointing to that. And, yeah, I mean, there was certainly a lot of excitement with the Grizzlies playing overseas in that big game from Ja Morant, you know, coming back from the injury. It had already missed a couple weeks. And, you know, for him to have that big game over there and then, you know, first game back, there was some excitement of, okay, maybe this is turning the corner. You know, it had been a rough start to the season when he was on the court. Maybe this is the turning of a corner. And, you know, it looked good again in that game against Atlanta. And, you know, it just happened to be that injury on that play where he was blocking the shot from Dyson Daniels, and you know, then it turned into most likely the last game in a Grizzly uniform.
And that night I woke up to, boy, Atlanta's doing a lot of smart things.
Yeah, no, I mean it took
even
Atlanta
though I had Quinn Snyder as my coach of the year.
Sure, yeah. No, it took Atlanta a little bit of time to figure things out, but you know, they were one of those teams that had the big offseason and a lot of people liked some of the moves they did, and they cashed in at the end of the season, and you know, I think they have a really good chance in their first round series against the Knicks. That's a series they could definitely win.
We're going to do picks on that tomorrow. You going to take them?
Yeah, I'll take them. I'll take the Hawks tomorrow.
Write it down now.
Yeah, I'll write it down. I like the way this Atlanta team.
Now you
playing.
Reserve the right to change your mind.
Sure, but tomorrow. No, I'm not going to. I've decided. I'm going to take.
Well, I don't want to do you like that.
No, please, I mean, I'm fine.
I thought you were going to go. I'll do my pick tomorrow.
No,
you jump right in.
No, I am. I mean, I like this Hawks team. I weirdly enough, tell me somebody else that bet on a team to win their division in the NBA, but I bet on Atlanta to win the division before the season started.
You did, and they did?
I did, and they did. I've been high on this Atlanta Hawks team all season. I'm not gonna back down now. I'll stick with them.
And you know, you take your profits. You don't have to ride them until they break you.
No, that has nothing to do with that. I just I think this is a good team.
You know how gaming works.
Oh, I know how it works, Brett. And I think they can win this series against the Knicks.
Okay, well, the Clippers, they're not going to win any series. Bryant, remember when we used to blame everything Clipper related on just one of the – I don't want to speak ill of the deceased. Mm-hmm. We used to blame everything on Donald Sterling. Mm-hmm. Remember?
Yeah.
What Donald Sterling really pushes if you can speak ill of the deceased. Yeah. But I'm not going to. But everything was, you know, kind of – I don't even make light of him. And everything and how he operated for years. And it's one of the pieces – one of the subject of not scorn, but a little bit that I don't buy all the Doc Rivers stuff, because like everybody, just running for the hills from him after those comments. Doc Rivers did. Doc, you played for him and coached for him one other time. How in the world were you shocked when everybody when you have people say everybody knew of some shenanigans going on? Everybody knew Sterling was bad news. Everybody. You could get a story, some outlandish stories. And, you know, he had, you know, the girlfriend with the welder's mask, the face shield. Maybe she was ahead of her time on the vid.
Maybe. Who knows?
Boy, the time I wore the face shield through the Atlanta airport going to the Outback Bowl. It said face shield over the top of it. Like, if you didn't know it was a face shield, had face shield at the top.
That's the Josh Pastner special.
With a mask and a face shield.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to miss that bowl game.
Well, no, you couldn't. No.
Little did I know. Now we all know that it was doing nothing.
Well,
having
but
all that
hey,
on.
You got to do what you got to do. And the unknown, I mean, hey, you know, I don't
ever want to pick at the bear with this MS either. So
I
had it on. But, you know, he had the girlfriend. He had all the stories around him. Now we have super owner and Steve Ballmer, Mr. Groove Tuner himself. I mean, just all the money in the world, built into it, dome. Clippers are no different.
No. And they're a very interesting team. You know, I kind of like some of the things they have on their team, some of the pieces they have, and, you know, maybe some pieces that they can grow with and kind of turn.
What piece other than Kawhi do you like?
Oh, I love Benedict Mathurin. Yeah, he's one of my favorite players in the league.
It's a good comeback.
Chris Dunn is older, but I love Chris Dunn. And I do like the addition of Darius Garland. You know, I think a new, you know, kind of different scene.
Well, okay, then what do they need?
Well, I mean, you look at some of these older pieces. You know, I don't think you're going to be a very good team when Brook Lopez is your big man. You know, I mean, he did have 17
great
points
point.
Last night, but, you know, I think they could use
he's
some
seven
front
foot.
Court.
He almost has to. I mean, how you're in the game and not
exactly. So, I mean, I do think there are some pieces, especially in the front court, that they can clean up. You know, some of these older guys. Like I said, I love Chris Dunn. I don't think he is a future guy for the Clippers. He was a starter last year, but they have some interesting pieces. Just can you build a complete team around these guys? And, you know, the big problem is you have Kawhi. Kawhi was really good last night, especially in the first half. But, you know, that's a lot of money going to Kawhi Leonard, and you know, always the conversation with him is injuries and being
he can
in
get
there.
Good and well, can he?
Yeah, he definitely can. So,
but you know what the real contempt would be in the Clippers?
What's that?
It goes back to those playoff series.
Sure, yeah.
I will never like them.
No.
I will think of them as the great Hank McDowell would always call them, Clipper scum.
Well, we talked about this game kind of being that game for people here in Memphis and Grizzly fans of who are you really going to root for? The Warriors, who you've had bad
but you can
with
respect
the
Warriors.
I think you can. I don't know how many people do in this area.
Well, maybe after, you know, the dust has settled and the years go by.
But
you
I'm
look
just talking
back
about
and,
last night
after,
when you were sitting there watching
I agree.
The game. Yeah.
Well, I want to throw that out. At Cincy's Log Cabin text line, 901-360-8255. I'm going to give you three choices.
Okay.
Clippers, Oklahoma City. I'm going to give you four.
Okay.
Clippers, Oklahoma City, San Antonio, or Golden State. Which one do you hold in the most contempt? Mine's easily the Clippers, mostly some of it from 2012 and them taking game seven when everybody just had advanced the Grizzlies in the bracket.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm in St. Louis on Friday night, the big win out there, hustle back early Sunday morning, go to the game like 12:30 tip, never in the game. I mean, the Clippers just ruined the fun. And then the next year in the second round in the Western Conference semis, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
And the big win, the night Whoop That Trick was born,
as
organic as anything ever you'll see in sports. And that's where all the great markets of the Grizzlies marketing team, they do an outstanding job. And they have from day one, like everybody in marketing, you have some swings and misses, you have some hits, but the best things are born out of the fandom. And most of the time in the NBA and the NFL, it's born out of playoff animus, enmity, fandom, and to win that series. And that's when, just the contempt for the rest of my natural days for Chris Paul and Grant Hill.
Well, it's a good reason.
And the Bush tactics they were pulling.
Yeah.
Both, one's Grant Hill's in the Hall of Fame and should be.
Yeah.
He's in the Basketball Hall of Fame and should be. That folds in college and pro. And if he hadn't had the foot injuries, he was going on to a Kobe career. He was. Chris Paul is going to the Hall of Fame, and he should. Doesn't mean I have to like either one of them.
No, it definitely doesn't. Not at all.
And their announcer, mm-hmm. Ralph Lawler. Mm-hmm. I mean, what are you trying to beat? Lawler in Memphis, we're not going to like you anyway.
No, definitely not.
I think he's deceased too. Everybody I'm cracking on.
Well, you know.
Maybe and the writer, T.J. Simons, sure. He's deceased too. He came in and
Maybe
a kazoo with some stuff. Maybe I need to be quiet.
Maybe we need to change topics since everybody is passing away. But no, we're going to talk a lot about both those play-in games from last night. We'll do that in our next segment. But yeah, let us know. Who do you have the most disdain for out of that four? Oh, I really don't know because I don't know if
See,
I can even say
I,
it.
I have respect for sure. Oklahoma City, Golden State, and San Antonio. Two of the three dynasties. Mm-hmm. Dynasties in the time that we saw them and were against them and played them, had fun beating them, tough losses against them, classic. I have no respect for the Clippers.
Yeah. I mean, it might be the Clippers just based on process of elimination. I like the Thunder, which gets me in trouble with a lot of my friends because I love watching the Thunder play. I think they're
I don't hate them. I don't know that I like them, but I do not hate them.
No. And kind of same thing with the Spurs. I enjoy watching the Spurs. I love Draymond. So yeah, it might be the Clippers based on
process.
Can we be friends? I don't know. We've done it so far. And I mean, that's like the ESPN story about John Brown. I don't think it's news that I like Draymond Green. So.
Have you heard about how great his workout was with the Grizzlies?
I have.
Legendary. Legendary.
Legendary stuff. But we'll talk a lot
that's
more.
That's where we
NBA.
Could go to workouts.
Well, that is true. At times, they are changing, especially in the NBA. But we got a lot to discuss, so let me set it up before we get to top and not top story of the day. 3:30, we'll talk about both those games last night in the play-in. The Warriors with a 126-121 win over the Clippers, but it didn't look like they were going to be able to win that game. A really strong fourth quarter down the stretch performance from them. And then that first game last night, the 76ers with a 109-97 win over the Magic, which was good news for the Grizzlies. So we'll talk about both those games, start talking about the Friday night matchups as well. We'll do that in our next segment at 3:30. 3:45, we'll talk some NBA draft as we are 1 week away from the NFL draft up in Pittsburgh. We'll talk about these top prospects and kind of what we expect, some of the news coming out of now officially in draft week, which is hard to believe. 4 o'clock, Keith Smith from SpotTrack and the Front Office Show. He'll join us. We'll talk a lot more NBA with him. We'll get his thoughts on the play-in games, these playoff matchups that we will see starting on Saturday, a lot of other news around the NBA that we'll get his thoughts on, including today the NBA coming out and saying that both Luka Doncic and Cade Cunningham will be available for postseason awards, even though they did not meet that 65-game threshold, both winning their appeal. So we'll get his thoughts on that as well. 4:30, we'll talk some baseball. By that point, we will have a lot of final scores in the books for games that happened earlier today. We'll talk about all of that. 4:45, big number of the day. 5 o'clock, Greg Gaston, he'll join us. Talk Tigers, plenty to discuss when it comes to Tigers. Is Tiger football having their Spring Fest this Saturday to wrap up spring practice? Also basketball with a couple of additions through the transfer portal, through the high school recruiting, and also a new assistant coach. So plenty to get to with Greg Gaston. 5:30, we'll talk about what's trending. And at 5:45, we'll wrap up today's show like we always do with Moe's Crunch Time. Let me remind you, we're in our Family Leisure Studios, where family and fun come together in the Hot Tub and Swim Spa Expo. It's going on now through May 10th. 7 manufacturers are fighting for your business in the battle of the brands. Hot tubs starting at $34.99 and swim spas starting at just $16.99. Mention this ad and receive a free cover lift with your spa purchase. So head out there to Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40.
We are Sports Time, and we're live and local and with you until 6 o'clock. We want you to be a part of our show by texting or calling 901-360-8255. That's the Sissy's Log Cabin text and talk line. All our guests will join us on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line at 901-360-8255. He's Brian. I'm Brett. Our producer is Landon Schmidt, and we're live from our Family Leisure Studios like we proudly are every single day in this hour, brought to you every day by Lexus of Memphis at 2600 Ridgeway and online at lexusofmemphis.com. Great offers on all 2026 models and always special leasing options. Drive in luxury and confidence, knowing that every new Lexus comes with complimentary first and second maintenance services. You can call them at 901-334-9673, but they invite you to stop by the only Lexus dealership in Memphis at 2600 Ridgeway, and that's where you can put yourself in the driver's seat of the all-new 2026 flagship LS500, and you'll be looking and you'll be driving in style. When you purchase a Lexus, you get top-of-the-line engineering and design, and they make for the safe luxury driving experience. Online at LexusOfMemphis.com. Experience amazing. Experience amazing at Lexus of Memphis.
Top story of the day.
Well, my top story of the day is the Memphis Tigers adding another assistant coach to the staff. That news being reported earlier today by our friend Jason Munns. The addition, it is Steve Wright, who spent last season on staff at Missouri, was brought in after spending a couple years at Duquesne. Before that, was at his alma mater, Bowling Green. He has experience as a high school head coach and AAU head coach. So you would think that he has some good connections and knows that grassroots system and the circuit and kind of how it works, will be able to go out and recruit that. Last year when he was brought in by Dennis Gates at Missouri, this is what Dennis Gates said in the statement welcoming him to the program. Quote, he is well established in the grassroots of basketball, and recruiting is a strength of his. So it sounds like recruiting is one of his strong parts, but this is a guy that made it to the SEC as an assistant coach under Gates. Those two had worked together before at Cleveland State, but has been at a lot of different Division I programs, also has that history at a JUCO, at a high school, on the AAU circuit. So a lot of experience around different levels of basketball. I think a really nice addition for Penny Hardaway, and it shows. This is the first time since I think the 2021 season that Penny Hardaway has had more than three assistant coaches on his staff. So I think Penny Hardaway, you know, bringing in more guys that, you know, he can listen to and help him out in different situations. I think you're seeing how these different guys come in and it feels like have different roles already based on some of their strong suits when they are being brought into the program. So we'll see how these assistant coaches work with Penny Hardaway, how Penny Hardaway works with them, and if we can see their impact on this new roster, and obviously we'll see more of that throughout the season. But just another addition, and there will be more to come to the staff. Probably no more assistant coaches, but other spots to fill in what is a very busy offseason for Memphis basketball.
And we knew it would be a busy April and busy offseason. It has been, and good luck to the Tigers, and welcome to town as a part of that staff. My top story, you know, a lot of teams like to say they're hard to kill in sports. Golden State is definitely that. Curry, Draymond, facing elimination with a loss, and everybody ready to etch in the tombstone date of the end of the dynasty, not so fast. And they go out and they defeat the really hapless Clippers. And Clippers, they lose again, and I talked about it earlier. Remember when we thought it was all because of that lunatic Donald Sterling? It's not. Anybody that touches it, whether it's Groovy Steve Ballmer and the splashy new building, wherever it is, same old clips.
They really are.
Not top story of the day.
Well, my not top story of the day. Before I get to my not top story of the day, I do want to put this out there because we talked about Spring Fest coming up on Saturday. I appreciate JJ for texting in and letting us know, because news just coming out as we are speaking that there is a weather update due to forecast of inclement weather this Saturday. Memphis Football Spring Fest has been postponed. The event will now be rescheduled to a date prior to the start of the 2026 football season. So if you're planning to go out to Spring Fest, that will no longer be happening due to weather. But my not top story of the day, it is these play-in games. And the play-in has worked. It absolutely has brought a lot of excitement over these last 2 days. The basketball has been fun, and these teams have shown that they want to go out there and win and make the playoffs, which I think is interesting. I had some thoughts of what would the care factor look like for some of these teams if they were sitting out there as maybe that 9-10 game borderline on maybe having a lottery pick in this great draft that everyone's talking about. Would they go out there and say, do I really want to win these games and go and play the number one seed or the number two seed when I could lose and ultimately have a lottery pick? But you're seeing those teams go out there, play as hard as they can. It's been competitive. It's been fun. Last night, like you mentioned, we saw Golden State, this dynasty – It might still be only on one leg and looking towards the end, but they are still standing. It was a fun win for them last night with the Clippers, and oh boy, the Magic. They have real issues going on there, and it was ugly last night.
Finger pointing everywhere. Really looks rough. My not top story, speaking of the buzzard circling, and I will speak ill of this euphemistic death whenever it goes. Whenever LIV, Live, whenever it goes, reportedly Live about done. But let's give Liv some credit. You ready?
Okay.
It destroyed what was left of Matthew Wolf's career. It forced Mito Pereira to retire. It ruined Cameron Smith. Joaquin Neiman hadn't been thought of. Cost us peak John Rahm years. Made us hate Phil. Made us hate Sergio even more. Made Patrick Reed a hero. Ghosted Dustin Johnson. You like that term? Dustin Johnson. And for the nine people that ever knew who Taylor Gooch was, they forgot about him. Taylor Gooch. How's golf going to go on without Taylor Gooch?
Well, it's a good question. Brett,
hope he got his cash.
Well, yeah, no, I'm sure he got that. I don't know if he's been getting it any lately. But, Brett, I'll tell you this. I am flabbergasted that Phil made a bad bet. I mean, bet on Live Golf didn't work out for him. I, for one, am shocked that he made a bad bet.
Well, I would love to know what he got up front. All right,
sure.
Let's use John Rahm, and let's use the 400 number. That it was $400 million. Now, they didn't cut him a check. Not even the Saudis. Well, I guess they might be that cash flow front pocket. Maybe so. But they didn't write him a $400 million check. Let's say it was $200 up front, and you get the rest of it over a couple years. Let's say he's sitting on $200. He's not making that the last three or four years on tour.
No. I mean, these guys got all the
money.
But
it took the stinger out of him.
Yeah.
It took the stinger out of Cam Smith.
Yeah. No, I mean, all those guys are sitting on plenty of money. It's just what you just listed off of how we feel about all these guys and kind of where their career is at right now. I mean,
and my favorite guys are still a guy like Pat Perez, a guy like Charles Howell. They were at the end. They were approaching senior tour years, and somebody shows up with, for Pat Perez, $30 million. Mm-hmm. Let's say it was just 15. Okay, where'd I sign?
No,
and good for him that he didn't fake it. That I'm trying to grow the game internationally. No, he just said I'm taking the cash.
Yeah, man.
At the time he said I'm 48 years old. I've been getting my brains beat out since I was 10 in Southern California by a guy named Tiger Woods. Yeah, I'm taking the cash.
Yeah, no, it was a smart decision. And right now they are playing. So all the talk of would they be going, would they not be going, they're playing right now, it seems. I can't find them if they're on television, but they are playing some golf as we speak. But that'll do it for top and not top story of the day. Let's get to our first break. And when we return, we're going to talk about those play-in games from last night, start discussing the play-in games on Friday. We do that next on Sports Time.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back in to Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you, and we got to talk about these play-in games from last night. Two games that started with the Magic and the 76ers. It was a 76ers win, 109-97. It finished with the Warriors and the Clippers. The Warriors with a 126-121 win. Both these games, not as close as those games that we saw the night before in terms of final score, but both these games really came down to the wire, really back and forth throughout the night, and I thought really, really entertaining basketball.
Give me your read on the production value and how they present the broadcast and the announcers on Prime.
Yeah, I think it's really good. Obviously, the Tuesday night issue with the technical difficulty wasn't great. And I want to say there was a brief second last night in the first game where it kind of cut out for a second and then was back not a long time after that. Was, you know, maybe 30 seconds later, at least on my screen, it came back up and was fine. I think the broadcaster is really good. I love and you know, I've been saying this all year, their pre and post game team with the crew they have there with Blake Griffin and Steve Nash and I think Udonis Haslam is
Blake
on
Griffin,
it a little
another
bit.
Clipper. You're just rubbing it in.
I'm not even trying to. I really didn't even love Blake Griffin.
He should be a Hall of Famer.
He absolutely should. I didn't like Blake Griffin when he was a Clipper. I liked Blake Griffin when he was at Oklahoma and then kind of was like, I'll root for him in the NBA. And then
came through here with the Sooners in 09.
That's right. And so
Sweet 16 Elite Eight.
I think they've got a really good team in pre and post game, and I think the broadcast has been pretty smooth outside of that one issue. It's been fun to watch, and I like one thing I was curious about. Was because I didn't catch many. I know Prime had the package on Friday nights and different things throughout the season, and it was very rare where I would be able to watch both games, and kind of that was the only thing on my television all night. And so I was curious, because it was streaming only, if I would have to watch one game and then get out of that game, if that stream would end, and then you would have to go to a different broadcast for the second game. It wasn't like that at all. It was just like regular television where one
folded
game,
you right in.
Exactly, it flowed right into the second game. So I thought it was. I thought all things considered, it was really really good.
Play by play people, who are they?
I cannot remember who were on any of the games the last two nights because I didn't get to see the start of them, and then I never really got caught up on who was on the call for any of them. But they did a great job, and that's all that matters. I thought it was a very successful last 2 days for.
That's where it's going to be Friday night and all day Saturday into Saturday night.
Yeah, which you told me that earlier this week, and I was shocked. I did not realize that, but yeah, they'll get the first three games on Saturday, and then we will have the ABC game at night, and then Sunday.
That's usually one of my favorite NBA days when you go kind of 12, 2, 6, and 8. That's not the exact times, but close enough. Mm-hmm. And I won't get the first three. I'll get the ABC Saturday night.
Well, luckily for you and other people out there that don't have Prime, Sunday, basically the exact same schedule, and it's all on regular television. So you'll go
Sunday if you just had 3, 5, 10, and 13.
That's right. And so you'll go ABC.
Not long through those days, but they're not ever returning.
No, getting further and further from that. But on Sunday, you'll have ABC, ABC, and then NBC, NBC for those final two games. So it'll get a little better for you on Sunday.
As we advance, any more Prime after that? Next Thursday night.
Wow.
Everything's on Prime.
Oh, wow. How about that?
Man, come on, NBA. Don't do me like this.
Yeah, three games all on Prime. Wow. And then the next night, Friday, you've got 2 days next week where all of it's on Prime.
I'll be at Busch Stadium that
night.
Holy.
Well, yeah, you won't worry about that, but wow.
But I want it on where I am at Busch Stadium.
Yeah, definitely. That is.
I want it there.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Oh, Brian, speak of that.
Uh-huh.
And I just don't know. Somebody help us out at the text line or call and let Landon know. If you go out to your favorite watering place, do they have the game zone?
It depends. Based on just where I've been and different places I've gone with different things the last couple of years, it really depends. There's some that they have the smart TVs and they have all the apps. And
are they paying?
Like
you're not doing anything wrong, are you?
No. I mean, they can go and buy it, or they can log into somebody's and broadcast it. There are certainly ways to do it. Some do, some don't. I know there was a restaurant that I used to go to, unfortunately no longer in business, and all of their TVs were smart TVs. And so all you had to do was ask them. They would come out and they'd go around and find the app and put it on. I know the Buffalo Wild Wings and different places like that. Back when ESPN had the all the MMA fights, they would do all the promotion of, hey, you can come here and watch all the fights. And so they would buy it because they knew that, hey, if we buy, it was like $65 for the event. If we spend $65 and buy it, the amount of people that are going to come in to watch it so that they don't have to pay for it, and the food that they buy, that's going to make up times 10 what we just paid. And so that was something where you'd have to go to the ESPN app and pull something up. So I think it really just depends on where you're at and kind of what their TVs are.
All right, I got a really dumb question about a smart TV. You ready?
Okay.
How do you know if the TV's smart?
It's a great question, Brett. It is a great question.
Can you judge a book by the cover?
Yeah, usually. I mean, a lot of times if the TV's off, obviously you won't be able to know. It just looks like a regular TV.
All right, is this a sign it's a smart TV? Because a place I really like to go, my good buddy Rocky Castafetis, he can get the remote control and tell it to turn to a channel. Does that make it a smart TV?
I don't think so, because I do think there are I'm pretty sure there are TVs that aren't smart TVs that have that. That's just kind of more futuristic.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, a lot of times if you, like, open your TV and there's, like, apps there.
And why not? I said, Rock, let me do it. I'm sorry, Brian. I didn't mean to joke you up.
That's,
it didn't go down the wrong pipe. Did it?
No, it didn't. Luckily, I hadn't swallowed yet when you said that.
And he handed it to me, and I said, ESPN, Tiger Game.
And then it came on. How about that? And your mind was blown. But, yeah, so no, smart TVs, they're the way. A lot. I mean, TVs are cheap. I don't know about right now, but I was shopping for some TVs not long ago. They're pretty cheap, and they're smart. So, I mean, you know, you can get some bang for your buck, it feels like.
Smart TV, dumb operator
was
me.
Well, that could be a problem.
That's a me problem.
No, that might be. But last night, I'll be honest, I did not think the Warriors were going to win that game. I mean, watching it, there was a time.
You picked them.
I did pick them, but I'm saying, like, watching the game, the way the game was playing out in that fourth quarter.
What kind of humble brag is this, Landon?
No, it's not a humble brag. It's more on kind of the way that the Warriors ended that game.
You're 4-0 on picks.
I am 4-0 on picks. It's been good. Now, I didn't want to bring that up because we still have another night of picks with the play, and so I didn't want to get ahead of myself with the two more games that we have. But there was a time last night where it did not seem like the Warriors could come up with a stop in the fourth quarter, and the Clippers maintained about a 7-9 point lead for about 5 or 6 minutes. And then what Draymond Green did defensively against Kawhi Leonard was huge. The shot making from Steph Curry, Kristaps Porzingis started knocking down shots. You had Al Horford knocking down corner threes. Pretty much everybody stepped up. I mean, it was impressive to watch that team.
It was very prideful. They just too hard to kill. Not going to go away just yet. It's ending. They know it. Ballmer's got to be thinking, I can't spend any more money. I'm doing everything you can do.
Yeah, no, quite literally, if you believe the reports, was doing illegal
and
things
to
make sure his team was well funded. But yeah, I mean, I was watching SportsCenter. I was watching the baseball game. SportsCenter came on after, and they had Brian Windhorst on. And one thing that jumped out to me that he said is, you know, this Warriors team, and we've talked about it. This Warriors team has a bunch of older veterans on it, and the pride that they're playing for, it might be close to the end. We might be seeing the last ride of the Warriors, but they're going to go out there and try to win as many games as they can and play as hard as they can. And look, they might not be able to go out there, and I feel pretty confident that they're not going to be able to go out there in the first round and beat the Oklahoma City Thunder if they win their next game. But against a team like the Clippers that has issues, you know, they went out there and played extremely hard. And, you know, like I said, to see Al Horford, who, you know, they acquired, has come in and played a role off the bench to knock down a couple corner threes late in that game to keep him alive. Just some really fun stuff last night.
With Steve Kerr and three players and Horford, Curry, and Draymond, you just strolling into Springfield.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is it's a Hall of Fame roster for sure with a handful of guys. And, you know, they made the most of it last night with that.
I'm not ready to log an official pick like you did on the what series?
That was the Hawks and the
Knicks.
On
the Hawks.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm picking Golden State tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame you. I think that's going to be a really interesting game.
3:45 tomorrow. I don't want to give it away.
Yeah, no, we'll make our picks there. But the two games tonight, Hornets and Magic, Warriors and Suns, certainly, and this is going to be another hard thing. I think Grizzly fans certainly rooting for the Hornets tomorrow night. I mean, it makes it very easy if the Magic lose.
Well, really easy.
Memphis will have that pick.
Well, with gusto.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know if I'm waving a towel, but I'm close.
No. But a little bit different if the Suns lose to the
that's
Warriors.
That's how I need to make my TikTok debut. That's it. Sign up for the TikTok.
Okay.
And tomorrow night in that game, waving towel and chanting "Whoop that trick!"
I think that's a good idea.
Hornets over the
Magic. That's a good idea. I think that's. I think that would be fun. I think you would get a lot of traction.
That might shut TikTok down.
It could. TikTok could crash if
somebody if that old that. Making that big a fool
well,
of himself.
It might. It might do that. But certainly a good opportunity for the Grizzlies to land another lottery pick based on what happens tomorrow night. But it's gonna be hard. Warriors on the road. Oklahoma City.
They got into the lottery.
Yeah, they sure
lottery
did.
Last night.
They did, yes, with that win. The Clippers, their pick goes to the Warriors or to the Thunder, and because of that loss, it puts them now in the lottery. And so, yes, the Oklahoma City Thunder, this team that has turned into world beaters, they now have a lottery pick, and who knows what happens.
How far up can it go? Can it go to number one?
Oh,
can
yeah.
it? Oh, it could win.
I saw somebody do a sim this morning, and it had the Clipper OKC jumping all the way up to one, and Memphis at number two. So
you are kidding.
It's very unlikely. I mean, they don't have a lot. It's a 7.1% chance to make top four.
I swear I just hit Sim at Tankathon, and the Grizzlies popped up with the bats.
Yeah, well, that would be awesome. But this OKC pick, 7.1% chance to be top four, 1.5% to be number one overall. So extremely slim chances that they jump up even into the top four, but chances nonetheless that OKC could be a top pick.
Now, whose pick do they get?
They get the Clippers.
I don't know that I see them. I do now. 12th, mm-hmm. taking Yaxwell Lindenboard.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So
boy, would he fit? He'll fit with anybody, yeah, but he really fits with them.
He really would. I mean, that's the problem. I mean, the way OKC has been turning out players, it feels like just about anybody they draft.
Oh my!
Would be really
so they have Lindenboard going to the Thunder with the 12th pick. Mm-hmm. With the 18th pick, the pick conveyed from the 76ers to Oklahoma City, they have Oklahoma City taking Bennett Sturts. Both of those players with that kind of team, and I said it during the tournament about Sturts. We're going to say in 2 or 3 years, how did that good a team get him?
Oh, yeah. And it certainly could be Oklahoma City, and that would be a perfect guy. Sit at the end of the bench, maybe bring him in every once in a while. Just let them learn with a lot of those really
be patient
players. Mm-hmm. And they've got time. And, I mean, you've seen it, what they've done the last couple of years. Now it's been due to injuries and different things like that. But they haven't really used their first-round picks as much. And, you know, a lot of people thinking maybe not a bad idea for them to do.
I'm not calling for a parade, but draft night, and I haven't been down to the building on draft night in a long time. Mm-hmm. It's a long night. But I may do it this year. If Tankathon's right, DeBansa won overall to the Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. 16th, the guy I've been wanting,
yeah.
Thomas Houck
from
Florida.
I think that'd be a really solid draft. Obviously, I think anything in that top four, if the Grizzlies jump up there, I think it is a slam dunk. And then whatever you do there at 16, certainly if it's Houck, I think that would be a really nice pick. But I'll be curious what they do there. I think we've talked a ton about the idea of – especially if you're not in that top three. I think if you're in the top three, you know what you're doing there. You're going to take one of those top three guys. But if you're somewhere in between 4 and 8, the idea of taking one of those point guards and then taking more of a forward at that 16 spot, I'll be curious if they do that or if they go kind of best available, if they see maybe another guard that they like at that 16 spot, maybe a little bit better than some of the forwards on the board. I would love to be a fly on the wall, especially after we know where exactly they're going to pick, to see kind of what type of stance they take with both those first-round picks.
I agree with you, your premise. The top three, in some shape, is settled.
Yes. I mean, it depends on who you talk to, but for most people it is, I would say.
Do you think it is in order?
What do you mean?
DeBansa, Peterson, Boozer?
I think it started to fall into that.
I think it's settling Boozer three, isn't it?
Yeah, but I'm starting to see more and more of people liking Caleb Wilson a little bit more than Cam Boozer, which most people have him at number four. But starting to hear some noise about that. But I do think the top three is whatever order you like it is DeBonza, Peterson,
then the point guards,
and Boozer, and then Wilson at four, and then you get into the point guards there.
Get into the point guards, and you're going to get a good one. Mm-hmm. Sissy's Law Cabin, the official jeweler of the Memphis Grizzlies, and they are the official text and talk line for us, and we appreciate them so much, and they're with us year-round and for everything. SEC Media Day is coming up, and the golf tournament. with leaderboard updates. We appreciate them so much, that great location at 4542 Poplar, supporters of Tiger Athletics and the Mid-South's largest selection of one-of-a-kind jewelry. They've got engagement rings, wedding bands, necklaces, everything for that special moment in your life. 9,000 square feet in Laurelwood with expanded lines for Rolex, Cartier, diamonds, and more. Since 1970, with all the great locations across the Mid-South, the official jeweler for the Grizzlies and at FedEx Forum with the floor seat lounge. We'll be back there faster than you can imagine. Sissy's, they offer a selection of diamonds, estate, jewelry, and fine gifts. Unsurpassed value, exceptional service, expansive selection, and an extraordinary shopping experience, because life's too short for ordinary jewelry.
Well, we need to get to another break. When we return, we're going to switch gears, talk the NFL. We are 1 week away from the NFL draft, so we'll talk some of the news around the draft, some of those top prospects. We do that next on Sports Time.
You have opinions?
I think it's over.
Of course you do.
I don't think it's that simple.
Everyone does.
I got all the answers.
Hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 360-8255. To Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back in Sports Time. Brian Brett with you, and we've got to talk the NFL draft because we are officially 1 week from draft day, the first round, which will be held next Thursday up in Pittsburgh. I know we'll be excited to talk with Beau Marchant on Tuesday right before the draft, and then certainly the following Tuesday as we'll recap everything. I know he's excited about the draft being up there in Pittsburgh. We kind of talked about it yesterday, Brett, of how, you know, there, it seems like maybe not as much excitement around this draft, and you know, maybe because of who some of these top guys are. But what are you kind of looking for and paying attention to the most this next week leading up to the NFL draft?
I think my guy is Jeremiah Love. Where will he go right now? You know, you can go to you can hit the Google enough that you can see almost anything. But I want the Titans to take him. And I know he will help. I know he'll help if nothing else in blitz pickup for a young quarterback. Well, that fits for Cam Moore, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely does.
Well, according to this CBS draft, I'll tell you who it fits for. It fits in Washington for Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, no,
they have him going seventh. People let him drop to seven. You're going to pay.
Yeah. I personally and – can we still be friends after I say this, Landon? I hope so.
We'll see.
Okay.
Look, we're not going to let we're close to letting golf picks turn us into animals.
Still very early on golf picks too.
And Landon wants to blame John.
Well, I mean, it's not a bad idea. I don't hate that idea.
It's just threw Landon right under the bus.
I think that's fair.
I think it's accurate.
I don't want the Titans to draft Jeremiah Love because I want the Dallas Cowboys to trade up and draft one Jeremiah Love, which I don't think is going to happen.
I know the Cowboys are high on the market to want to draft up.
Yes, but it seems like every trade idea, mock draft with a trade I see, it has them moving up to take a linebacker. So we'll see.
There's a lot of them.
Obviously, a big hole at linebacker.
Landon just said there's a lot of them. How many Jeremiah Loves are there?
None.
There's a lot of linebackers out there.
Yep.
There are.
Yep, but there are not many Jeremiah Loves.
Not many of those linebackers are going to have their hands on the football consistently.
No, they're not.
And we talk about it a lot, and you know, we talked about it a couple years ago. When it comes to running backs in the draft, very rarely do you see a running back, you know, in the top 10, in the top 5.
And we've been burned.
Yeah, we definitely have. But, you know, to see
– I still can't believe it happened to Trent Richardson.
Yeah,
I can't.
Yeah. It's a good example of it. But, you know, when you see a running back that is projected to be, you know, in the top 4 or, you know, at number 4 like he is, you know, that means that guy is really, really valuable, and there's a reason he's going to be drafted that high. And so, you know, I think he probably will go there. You know, you think of, you know, like Bijan Robinson, who got drafted really high in the first round, and, you know, he's worked out in Atlanta. Certainly Derrick Henry, but I mean kind of more recent,
okay,
the last couple of years, because there was a lot of talk, and I guess my point about bringing Bijan up is there was a bunch of of questions about Bijan. He was drafted 8th in that draft, but if should he be drafted in the top 10?
Yeah.
And he was.
Everybody's been so far.
Yeah, he's been, you know, by far and away the best running back, and so it feels like we've had that kind of buildup of, you know, how early should you draft running back? And I remember those conversations around that draft with Bo, and so I think Jeremiah Love certainly is the exception to that, because I think he's going to be an unbelievable NFL running back.
Of course, I'm going to make a transition and compare some of the college football.
Okay.
But Jeremiah Love from St. Louis, Christian Brothers College High School, famous college. That was Mike Shannon's high mm-hmm. school. And we know Zeke Elliott was from St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they keep Eli Drinkwitz through the years, mm-hmm. those type of players yeah. will be going to Mizzou.
That's a good point. That is a really good point. And, you know, you're already seeing him have some success with some local guys in the area at Missouri. And so, you know, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
But it's why Tom Ackerman says he's in the best market to cover mm-hmm. the Big Ten and the SEC in St. Louis of any market in the country, because mm-hmm. it touches both of them so much.
Yeah.
And I kind of throw Notre Dame as Big
sure,
Ten.
Sure. Well, no, it's,
sure. Ohio State with Zeke Elliott.
It absolutely is. Last thing before we get to a break, have you seen this? It kind of the end of it is making its rounds on social media. But Casey Concepcion, the wide receiver who is in this draft, he did a story on the Players Tribune. And at the very end of his story, this is how he finished it. He said, "Before I get out of here, I do want to say once again for all to hear that I'm the best receiver in this draft. But at the end of the day, I'm so much more than just a football player. And any team that picks me is going to realize that immediately. So if you're a GM out there reading this, put me on your team and let's get to work. You're not going to regret calling my name. Never. And I mean never. Did I stutter? KC." So he's
sell yourself.
Making his pitch to all these teams that he is the best wide receiver in this draft. I mean, he's a pretty darn good wide receiver. So we'll see where he goes on draft weekend. But that excitement starting to build as we get closer and closer to the draft. But let's go ahead and wrap up this first hour, get to a break. And when we return, we're getting back into the NBA. Keith Smith from SpotTrack and the Front Office Show, he joins us next.